At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Feels like every game's a big game when you live where the Steelers live in the NFL. And that is right on the edge of playoff contention, either barely in or barely out. Pretty much every year. But this is a gigantic game to the point where I think that the winner will go to the playoffs and the loser won't. Bob Pompiani is over on the south side about ready to hand off to Tomlin. Hopefully there's no problem with the exchange here. Hopefully they don't fumble the handoff.
That would be pretty poor, right? Yeah, don't want that.
So, you know, I've undersold the Bills all year and I've been right, but they do have Josh Allen. They do have James Cook. Therefore, they're explosive offensively. Josh doesn't throw the ball down the field a lot, but he can take off himself, and you all have seen him play many times. So they're capable of beating anybody. They're just not very good this year. It's the worst roster around Josh in probably 5 years at least. Their defense is god-awful. And the Steelers, if the Steelers just simply run the ball straight ahead on nearly every play, I think they win this game, honestly. The Bills lose up front on both sides of the ball every game. And I'm surprised that they're a 4.5-point favorite here. They're also having injury problems. And speaking of that, we'll be hearing from Tomlin, I would presume very early in his news conference, on Aaron Rodgers and what the situation is there. Does he still anticipate him to play? He didn't say that last week, did he? That's why I also took note of what he said after the game. It was different than his take all week long. He never said, I anticipate him to play. He said it after the game Sunday about this week. So I'm curious about that because to me, anyway, his answer after the game stood out. And of course, if he anticipates that he'll play this week, you have to ask, well, why didn't he play Sunday? I think that's a logical question. Then again, as Bob himself has wondered, is anybody telling the truth when it comes to injuries? Is there more to the story? Is Aaron Rodgers hurt worse than we thought? Is he even going to play this week? What do you think, Limits? We leave the light on for him? I think that's the one we get.
Probably, yeah. I mean, we're optimistic or we're hopeful that Aaron is going to be able to play this week.
Participation be our guide.
Yes, yeah. The participation later in the week. He might be limited in the early portions
yes,
of the week, Joe.
Yes,
definitely.
I feel like we don't get enough leave the lights on for him anymore.
No.
I think we're going to get that today. We'll leave the lights on for Aaron.
How many lights are they leaving on? Is it the entire house? Is he lighting up like a Christmas tree?
My mom used to leave me notes about leaving the lights on. Limits.
All right, let's see if he leaves them on.
Good afternoon. As always, I'll start with a quick preview of our last performance. As I mentioned after the game, certainly a tough game and close game, and oftentimes when it's good on good, man, it comes down to a handful of potential plays. But how do you identify those plays as the singular significant ones? Really, from a leader's perspective, you don't. You put a bunch of irons in the fire. You understand that any of those plays in any of those areas can be the significant difference. And I thought there were some specific areas in all three phases of the game that contributed to us to not to not winning the game. On special teams, as I mentioned after the game, I got to give a lot of credit to their kicker in the kickoff game. He delivered some challenging, dirty balls in the kickoff game, balls that land just barely inside the landing zone and bounce around that are difficult to feel in advance. That's the new hang time and the new dynamic kickoff. And so as soon as that ball hits the ground, people can start covering. I thought it, you know, certainly challenged us from a field positioning standpoint. I think his first three were really, really successful in that space. And I thought in the latter part of the game, man, we needed better timely punting, particularly in the waning moments of the game. I think our last punt was 33 yards, and certainly been pleased with Corliss's body of work over the greater portion of the season, but we needed a little bit more last Sunday, and so I'm excited about him bouncing back from that as we lead in on this week's opportunity. On offense, we talked about a couple specific things. They were number two in the league in third downs, and so we talked about we had to be in very manageable third downs. I thought we were successful in doing so. I thought we ran the ball effectively, and I think that gave us like 7 third down and 3 or less scenarios. We converted 6 of those, and I just think that's the first way that you negate a unit that has dynamic schematics and players in that space. We stayed at less than 3rd and 5, didn't allow them to get to a lot of their schematics, you know, turning the tables in our favor. And to be quite honest with you, that's something that we've excelled at this year. 3rd down and 2 or less, we got to be one of the top units in football in terms of those conversions. And so oftentimes the things that lead up to possession down play really determines how it unfolds. And I thought we did a really good job there. We also talked about their defense thriving in the takeaway game. They had 22 or so going into the game. They were tops in football. We were certainly less successful there, and it was really impactful in terms of how the game unfolded. We turned the ball over at midfield there early, and they were able to get 7. And then in the early portions of the second half or in the third quarter, we got sack fumble, put them on the short field again, and they were able to turn that also into a touchdown. And really, when you peel it all back, I think their ability to turn our turnovers into touchdowns and our inability to do so on the other side was really the difference in the game. Obviously, we had one takeaway on defense that resulted in a touchdown, and man, that's been awesome. I think we got 3 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks defensively. That's a good sign as the road gets narrow. But the other turnover we got there at midfield, Y.A. Black, in a short yardage circumstance, we lost that possession on a turnover on downs in the subsequent drive. And so, you know, when it's good on good, that minutia is often the difference. As I mentioned, we were able to take the ball away from them, and that's something that they excelled at on offense. I think they had 6 turnovers over the course of the season. We got 2 big ones, but we also had an opportunity at some other ones that didn't come to fruition. We had a turnover right before the half get taken away because we were offsides, and if you remember, they settled for a field goal on that drive, and the outcome of the game was 3 points. And so these and some of the things that I previously mentioned is what I mean when I talk about there's often a lot of irons in the fire in terms of how games unfold, how you engineer victory. And that's why we talk about all 3 phases, putting together comprehensive plans and coordinating those efforts in the effort to find that type of synergy, that type of complementary football that allows those things to happen. From an injury standpoint, man, we got a couple things to talk about. Broderick Jones has a neck injury. He'll be classified as out this week. I'll have more information for you the next time we get together, but certainly he'll be classified as out this week. Same thing goes for Derek Harmon. He sustained a knee injury in play, was able to finish the game, but he'll be characterized as out this week. Optimistic about a couple returns. Aaron, obviously, man, worked his tail off to get to us last week. But as I mentioned, over the course of the weekend, it was a prudent and appropriate decision. We'll start this week with great optimism, although we certainly will limit him at the early portions of the week, provide opportunities for the other quarterbacks while preserving him. But again, we're comfortable with the general trajectory, but I'll keep you updated and his level of participation and the quality of his participation over the course of the week will be the greatest indicator. Same thing could be said for Alex Highsmith. He's been out the last couple of weeks, but we're optimistic as we start the week about his inclusion this week. A couple of guys that are managing some in-game things from last week that may be limited at the early portions of the week, and we'll see where their participation leads. Joey Porter with a hip. DK Metcalf got his ankle rolled, but he was able to finish. But again, certainly will probably limit him at the early portions of the week. And the same thing for Ben Skowronek with a shoulder. Now on to Buffalo. Man, really excited about this AFC matchup at Acrisure Stadium. Man, things are tight in the AFC. They're certainly a viable group. It's a big ball weekend here in Pittsburgh. And so I'll start first with their offense. Josh Allen, man, what a competitor. You know, we talk a lot about his talents, his legs, his arms, and things of that nature. But it's the intangible quality that really, really captures your attention as you study tape. His ability to rise up in the moment, his will, his competitive spirit, how he finishes plays, whether it's scramble plays to keep passes alive or, you know, when he chooses to pull the ball down and run. You got to be really conscious of what you do schematically in terms of how you rush him and how you support that rush with the coverage behind it. Because, again, his ability to extend plays without negativity, his ability to break you down with his legs, certainly we've seen over the course of this season, and certainly we've seen firsthand over the course of his career some of the games that we've been in against him. Man, they're running the ball extremely well. Certainly he's a component of that. But, man, Cook is doing an awesome job. He's almost got 1,100 yards. I think he's number two in the league in rushing. He averages 5.4 per carry. He's got 8 touchdowns. He's a bell cow for him and really has been for a number of years now. I think he just got a big contract at the start of the season, and he and they are certainly reaping the rewards of that. He's got an awesome fullback. You know, we don't often mention the fullback in today's game, but Reggie Gilliam out of Toledo, man, has been there, I think, since 2020. He's playing really good football for them. He's a major component of what they do in the running game. Oftentimes, statistics don't bear that out, but guys like he and 85 Halls, man, are significant contributors to the number two rushing attack in football. In terms of the passing game, Josh has certainly got a lot of eligibles to throw the ball to, receivers and tight ends. He distributes the ball to open people. The depth of their group is a challenge. They spread the ball around, they formation you. He works the interior portions of the field very well. Certainly that's been an area that's had our attention over the last several weeks. Man, we've given some things up there. They got talented tight ends in Kincaid and Knox. That are capable of working that portion of the field. They got solid receivers outside. Can't say enough about their slot receiver, his ability to win one-on-one matchups and break people down. He can turn short to long. They throw bubble screens and things of that nature. Jets, man, they got some people that can take minimal risk schematic endeavors, man, and turn them into big plays. And so, as I mentioned earlier when I was talking about Josh, man, they're a great possession down group. We got to have a heck of a third down plan. We got to work to get off the field and get them off the field. But his talents are a major component of that. And so we got a lot of things to face on that side of the ball. On defense, they're a continuity group. You know, boy, they've had a collection of people there for some time, and even some of them are doubling back for a second stint. You know, Tre'Davious White and Poirier, for example, are two guys that spent a lot of time there that have gone on the other places and doubled back. I think they value that continuity. It allows them to do a lot of things schematically, particularly in the secondary. I think they're number one in the league in terms of passing yards per game. And it speaks to that continuity, that collective, man, a lot of their talent and spent a lot of time there. Can't say enough about their safety 2-4, man, out of Utah, man. He's doing a lot of really good things and contributing in a variety of ways. He may be their leading tackler. I think he's got 3 sacks. He's also got 3 interceptions. He's a good pressure man on first and second down in an effort to minimize your running game. He's a good pressure man on third down as well. You know, it starts up front for them. They've always been a 4-down group, and They've always allocated a lot of resources there. It seems every year they're acquiring some really established rusher to round out their depth in that space. It's been, you know, Leonard Floyd over the years. It's been Von Miller. This year, obviously, is Bosa. And they certainly already have enough talent in that space. But I think it just speaks to their commitment to fortifying their talent and depth up front. They play behind their rush. Those guys wreak havoc. They do. They're challenging in the C and D gap area in the run game because oftentimes those guys are a lot bigger than the tight ends and so forth that generally play in that space. That's one of the reasons why we deploy some of the schematics that we deploy out in that C and D gap area with Darnell Washington and Spencer Anderson, for example, because guys like Russo are just, you know, oftentimes too big and long to block in the running game for quote-unquote normal tight ends. And so, man, we got a lot to be excited about. We got a lot, obviously, from a challenge perspective. It's a big ball weekend. We show our respect to that with how we prepare. We're doing so right now as a staff and looking forward to continuing that with the players tomorrow as we lean in on prep.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'll pause and open up for questions.
Mike, was one extra week or a week off enough to alleviate any concerns/fears you might have had about Aaron with his wrist?
I think time will tell. There were so many unknowns last week because it just is lack of work during the course of the week. I think that there'll be less unknowns regarding that topic, and that's what makes this week an encouraging one, and that's why we're hopeful.
The determining factor, their safety for him, was that the determining factor in pulling them out?
It was just the appropriate thing to do from our perspective.
How much physical work does Aaron need to get to be able to play on Sunday?
Again, you know, what he needs and what others might need are certainly different topics of conversation, but we don't focus on bare minimum in terms of what he needs. Our goal is to, you know, proceed with caution appropriately, while at the same time giving him all the work that we can afford to give him. And so we're just certainly going to live that day by day. He clocks in and visit with Gabe and the training staff every morning, and we kind of build a plan from there.
Do you need to see excuse me, didn't you see him take more snaps under center to test that wrist?
Again, we'll see where the week leads us.
Mike, with Derek Harmon, is this the same issue, injury that he dealt with in the preseason, or is it a...
No, something that happened in-game last Sunday.
Was it the same knee or the other knee?
To be honest with you, I'm not even certain. He was able to finish the game, and so it wasn't on my radar when I visited with you guys post-game, but it certainly turned up on Monday morning, and that's why I just wanted to be transparent with you.
Mike, how do you feel about your depth there, specifically with YA and how he's grown?
I'm really encouraged by his growth, man, and, you know, I think his play time is kind of reflective of that. But we like our young D linemen, and we've acquired a new one in Broderick. And so sometimes guys will get an opportunity. One man's misfortune is another man or another men's opportunity. And so we're encouraged by the depth that we have at that position. We'll take the collective through the week. We can see who can execute detail, and I'm sure it'll be more than one person. It often is when we're talking about losing somebody that's starter caliber.
Mike, how do you balance maybe the competitive nature of a guy like Aaron, who obviously really wants to be out there and play, versus what you feel is right in terms of safety and just the long-term benefit for the team?
You know, I think first and foremost, you lean on the advice of the medical experts. You know, I'm not going to take his competitive spirit and his will to compete as a negative. Those are positives. But certainly, it's our job as leaders to exercise appropriate precaution, and first and foremost for me are the opinions of the medical staff.
When you look back at it, where do you think you guys could have been better in your red zone defense against Chicago?
You know, there are a couple calls you'd like to have back, certainly. There's some detail that you'd like to have back, but oftentimes that's just the case. It's not, you know, one glaring thing. It's popcorn. It's minutia here, minutia there. Man, we'd like to be in a different call under this circumstance. We'd like to have someone better positioned in that circumstance. And I think that's kind of reflective of the red zone output last week.
Through 11 games, big picture, offense or defense, do you find that you are dealing most often with those popcorn elements, or do you find that you are coaching around or still trying to coach better shortcomings?
It depends on the circumstance. And what I mean by the circumstance is oftentimes who you compete against, the nature of that matchup, their schematics is a component of that discussion, player availability within the 11 weeks, you know, who's available, who's not available, and how that might impact your strategy. And so, you know, it's difficult to paint with a broad brush, but I'll say largely, you know, generally it's a combination of all of the above.
As you look for more chunk plays offensively, are there more opportunities in the middle of the field that you feel like you need to exploit?
Maybe. Again, it's week to week, depending on the schematics that the team or the teams that we compete against choose to deploy. But certainly, largely, if you look at the large body of work, there's probably some more opportunities for us in the interior portions of the field.
Like, how did Calvin Anderson perform when he had to go in there, and who's going to be your swing tackle this week?
Feel really comfortable with what Calvin has given us. You know, he's been that guy that's a swing tackle for us, and he's shown really good capabilities in that area, but we're also extremely comfortable with Pete. And that's one of the reasons why we acquired Pete, you know, in the team development process. There's a guy that has a resume that started wire to wire, that came into this league as a first rounder. And so certainly he has a different profile than Calvin. We like both guys. Both guys are veteran professionals who have a certain level of preparedness and maturity that they bring to the work every day. And so we're going to prepare both guys, and we'll have more clarity as we get closer to the game time.
Mike, why has consistency been so elusive, particularly on defense?
It always is. You know, I think oftentimes your record reflects that. You know, if we were sitting here at 9-2, we'd probably be having less of the discussion. At 6-5, I think 6-5 in general speaks to that.
Mike, the Bears got a bunch of their chunk plays against you guys in cover three zone defense. It seemed like you guys were leaning away from that in the recent weeks, where you guys were finding more defensive success. Was that? Did you view that as maybe a schematic error in the alignment, or more of an execution error that you guys need to be better in those moments?
Sometimes it's just decisions that you make in an effort to fortify the matchup. As I mentioned, not only at the beginning of this, but at the beginning of last week, we were playing the number two rushing team in football. And so, man, that requires a certain deployment of schematics. And oftentimes the play action pass is a negative byproduct of that. I thought they executed their play-action passing game with more fluidity and more consistently than they had leading up to our game. And so I got to give them credit for their planning and execution in that space.
In the situation of the 25-yard more touchdown we ran up the seam against you guys, it was trips right, four verticals. Is that a situation where you have to check out of the cover three zone?
I am not going to peel back the layers of how we function from a schematic standpoint, although I am impressed by the depth of your question.
Mason's been very successful converting third downs and extending some drives this last six quarters. Anything in particular that he's doing or why it's been so successful?
Mason? Yeah, I think we've made a conscious effort to be on schedule. And I think when you're on schedule, man, it provides you more options and more ways to skin the cat, if you will. The run game becomes a component of it. As I mentioned, we're one of the elite teams in third down and two or less. And as I mentioned in the last game, I think there were seven instances where it was third and three or less. And so that takes a lot of options and schematic options away from a defense and provides those for the offense.
Mike, what are teams doing to limit Jonnu, and what can you guys do to get him more opportunities?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if they're doing anything specifically. Sometimes it's just our planning. Certainly Jonnu is a capable member of our unit, and, you know, it usually comes around. A number of weeks back, you guys were asking me about Muth, and I gave you a similar response, so keep watching.
Do you have an outer limit in terms of yardage or a limit in terms of seconds remaining on the clock in your head before you rush on the field goal unit?
Yeah, I do, but, you know, where's the ball located and things of that nature is a component of it.
Why has it been a struggle to, you know, generate plays vertically in the passing game?
You know, a lot of it's got to do with schemes that people deploy, but we also could be certainly better in that area. If you're speaking specifically to last Sunday, I thought the deep ball has always been an asset of Mason Rudolph's game, but it wasn't necessarily so last Sunday. We had some plays to be made down the grass that we didn't take advantage of. Second play of the game, he left a ball a little bit short versus DK. We had Roman down the grass and the ball sailed out of bounds, just as a couple of examples of that. And so, you know, we acknowledge that, and we'll go back to work and keep pressing.
Mike, Troy was uncovered late in the game. Is that on Mason to recognize that, or is that on the receivers to make sure they're lined up right?
You're talking about on the illegal formation? We own that as a collective. We didn't do a good enough job in that moment as a collective. It certainly was a significant play. Oftentimes you're defined by your ability to execute under those circumstances when time is of the essence, where you're working at pace. And those of you that watch us practice, that's why we spend so much time working on that component of the game week in and week out. We start our Wednesdays with offense versus defense, working at pace. We finish Wednesday's practice and Thursday's practice under the same umbrella because we realize that you need reps in an effort to be clean there because that was a significant component of the game. We fought our tails off and had a chance to have the ball and go back at them. We converted a third down and four. Mason did with his legs, went down the field, but certainly we were illegal there and we were deserving of that penalty.
On that final play, did you consider a field goal and did getting the K-ball in factor it in at all to the decision?
I didn't. I didn't feel comfortable with the distance there. I wanted to convert and clock it and play from there. But obviously the fourth down play got batted down at the line of scrimmage, and so the subsequent discussions became mute.
Mike, you made the decision about Aaron on Saturday of last week. Do you anticipate a similar timeline for his availability this week?
I have no idea. Stay tuned.
Mike, you talked about how tight it was in the AFC. You know, does it feel like the playoffs start now for your group?
I always feel that way. I just been in this league so long, man. We don't have an 80-plus game schedule or 160-plus game schedule. You get 17 opportunities to state a case for yourself. And so there's extreme urgency in our business. And those of us that have been in it for a long time, players and coaches, we understand that.
Is there a challenge for you guys as a staff preparing a team offensively when you throw more to the middle of the field when you have Aaron versus not as much when you don't? As far as getting that chemistry going during the week and you don't know who exactly will start?
There's always challenges when you're missing significant players.
To Jeff's question, part of the reason you're in that time crunch is that rule that exists that even though the clock is stopped, it burns a timeout. During your time with the competition committee or what have you ever been given a rationale as to why it's found to be necessary?
I'm sure I've been a component of that, but The details of it doesn't come to mind as I stand here today. It's certainly a more obscure rule, and certainly from a spirit perspective with the clock being stopped, it's a reasonable question. But I'm just not really familiar with the discussions that we've had along those lines as I stand here right now.
How do you plan on using your corners with Slay? Can Slay potentially be back in the starting mix, or is Pierre?
We feel really comfortable with his availability this week. We'll make that determination as we get closer to game time and really look at some of the schematic things that we're dealing with. Certainly, Joey being limited at the top part of the week could be a component of that discussion as well.
Does that potentially open the door for Asante Samuel Jr. to get some looks with you guys this week?
We're always, you know, open to our practice squad guys elevating, particularly those with the resume like Samuel's. And so he's only been here a short period of time. He's been working his tail off to not only get in football conditioning, but learn what to do. And it's been a good endeavor thus far, but it's too early in the week for me to speculate in that regard.
Where do you feel like your offensive line, especially the young guys, have found the most collective success as a group, whether it's run blocking in certain situations and or pass protecting in others?
I just think in general they've been on the upswing. The arrow's pointed up on that collective, as a collective and as individuals. And so I'm encouraged by it. But I say that weekly, and oftentimes the statistics don't bear that out, but that's just how games unfold. I love the fact that they're largely playing penalty-free, to be honest with you. We don't talk about that enough. I think as a collective, they've been penalized maybe 8 times this season. And so with a young group playing as penalty-free as they are, I'd be wrong if I didn't mention that as a component of their growth and development as well.
Anyone else? Mike, earlier today, Hines Ward was named a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What would be your pitch to the committee to try and get him into the hall?
Hey, numbers do not tell his story, although his numbers are special. They are. I think that's a guy with 1,000 or so career catches. But, man, if you were around him, if you were in stadiums with him, if you were a member of his team or an opposing player, you understood what playing with and against Hines Ward was about. He was a football player first, a wide receiver second. To be quite honest with you, he was an offensive perimeter bully. And I say that in a complimentary way. To me, he's a legendary player in his generation because of the way that he played, the amount of respect that he carried when he didn't have the ball in his hands, when it wasn't even a pass, is stuff of legend.
Mike, is he an example you still use today with guys?
Without question. Without question.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Man, I love some of that. Wasn't a big fan of other parts, but the last part, absolutely. I mean, I've ranted on this a million times with Hines Ward, and in many, many, many decades of watching football, I haven't seen too many better all-around football players than him. And the numbers are there. 1,000 catches, 12,000 yards, 85 touchdowns. He's a semifinalist again for the Hall of Fame, but probably won't get in, but he very clearly should. His playoff numbers. Just listen to this. 16 starts in 18 games. So essentially one full season, right, of playoff football. 88 catches for 1,181 yards and 10 touchdowns. Oh, and a Super Bowl MVP. Oh, and he might be the best blocking wide receiver than anybody's ever seen, and that's not an exaggeration. Some people think that's overrated. I walked up to Peter King, who was, you know, as prominent as anybody among the pro football writers in La Trobe one year. I walked up to him and said, "Do you vote for Hines? Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?" He said, unequivocally, yes. He's the greatest blocking receiver I've ever seen. Peter King put out an all-pro team from the time he was covering football until the time he retired. His personal all-time team, it was something like 1978 or 84 until a couple of years ago. Hines Ward was one of three receivers on that team. And I agree. He was an integral part of a Steeler run game that was always good, always did his job, affected so many plays, impacted so many plays in that playbook. And it's an absolute crime that guy's not in the Hall of Fame. All right. Now on to Aaron Rodgers' limits. So he's optimistic. He says it was the prudent, appropriate decision last week, but he has great optimism. It suddenly went from optimistic to great optimism. We'll limit him early in the week. We're comfortable with the general trajectory. We'll see about the level and quality of participation. Here's the problem, though. He said Aaron worked his tail off to get to us last week. So does he also have an injured tail limits?
Mm. If it's injured, I hope it gets fixed very quickly.
What's the animal when their tail falls off, it goes right back on? Is there such an animal? Yeah, there's an animal whose tail is like interchangeable.
If it falls off, it goes right back on.
Yeah, you can just fasten it back on. Or is that a worm? Worms don't have tails, but
if you chop... How would worms have tails?
Animal out there that if part of its body falls off, it regenerates immediately. And I think it's a tail. Anyway, just the Steelers' luck. His hand will get better, but he won't have a tail for the game, right? What do you do without that? Is that his directional mechanism, the tail?
Many animals, such as lizards, geckos, and some salamanders, can lose their tails as a defense mechanism to escape predators.
Told you. Okay, but then it says they get it back then.
It says that the detached tail may continue to wiggle to distract the predator, allowing the animal to free. Most of these animals can also regenerate a new tail over time.
There you go.
You made
it sound like the lizard loses a tail and goes and find it in the lost and found.
You made it sound like the lions like lose a lion.
No,
or a tiger
I told you there
the
are
tail.
Animals that regenerate their own tails, and I'm right.
Starfish is pointed out there on the text line.
I don't think
they have tails.
So, you know.
Salamanders, though, is pointing out.
I'm concerned that Rodgers worked his tail right off, but if he needs to regenerate one for the Bills, he will. I don't know what the hell's going on here. Is he going to play or not? I don't know. It's going to be a big game all week. Was he medically cleared to play on Sunday? Do we have an answer to that question?
No, we don't have an answer to that, but I'm guessing the answer is no.
A story I just read said Tomlin witnessed Rodgers in action for multiple practices during the week, but wasn't prepared to make the final call until Saturday night. He denied there was any pause for, quote, medical clearance and indicated the green light had already been given. Why isn't that asked? Or was it asked on Sunday? Was Aaron Rodgers medically cleared to play? Isn't that the question?
Yeah, and he said, I don't know what you mean by that, the last time he was asked.
When was he asked?
Friday.
That's not the key day. Well, what do you mean he doesn't know? How does he not know what that means?
I don't know. That's a great question.
It's a yes or no question for every player on the roster.
He dodged it. He ducked the question.
Well, then that would indicate to me he was medically cleared, and that was up to Tomlin in the end.
To me, it means that he was not medically cleared, and he just probably didn't want to throw the doctors under the bus.
Or that he was playing competitive game. Well, how would you throw the doctors under the bus for not medically clearing someone who has a broken wrist?
Maybe people will get very mad at the doctors and send them weird notes.
They do that.
I don't know if they do that.
I don't know. I don't know. But the best answer of the day was when Chris Carter went full David Todd and went deep into... Well, no, Todd was more into the analytics. Carter is into the schematics, which is great. You go read his stuff. Right now at postgazette.com, he's all schematics. This was one of the greatest question and answer combos in maybe Tomlin news conference history.
In the situation of the 25-yard more touchdown we ran up the seam against you guys, it was trips right, four verticals. Is that a situation where you have to check out of the cover three zone?
I am not going to peel back the layers of how we function from a schematic standpoint, although I am impressed by the depths of your question.
Very impressed. Chris had the formation down. He had the defensive scheme down. He had everything
right
down.
Or trips left. I can't remember.
That's kind of
cover three.
What Faribault was telling us earlier. And
yeah,
sometimes you get lost
him,
in the sauce a little bit.
That's why I asked Faribault to translate, you know. Trips right. Yeah, three wide receivers. I get it. It's just sometimes the lingo gets to be a little bit much limits.
Do you think Tomlin thought that Carter was trying to audition for a spot on the staff?
If he is, they could call his office Carter Country. You remember that show, Limits?
No.
Of course you don't.
That was 1975?
Yes. You don't remember any of those shows, do you? Barney Miller, MASH, any of those?
I know MASH. Yeah. MASH was the highest rated final episode of any show ever.
Aren't you a little fountain of knowledge? You worked your tail off to get that answer, didn't you?
Like a nice little salamander.
That's when Tomlin's at his best in these news conferences. I wish he would just go off the cuff all the time. I mean, today, so much of it just sounded like he was bored, I was bored, everybody was bored. It's the same thing over and over again. And then when he gets ticked off, he gives you a great answer like that, so much that I want to hear it again, please.
Yeah, he's always bored.
From beginning to end.
In the situation of the 25-yard more touchdown we ran up the seam against you guys, it was trips right, four verticals. Is that a situation where you have to check out of the cover three zone?
I am not going to peel back the layers of how we function from a schematic standpoint, although I am impressed by the depth of your question.
You know who will peel back the layers? James Harrison. Let's hear him peel back some layers, and while he's at it, peel some paint off the wall.
Defense. Soft. I'm tired of seeing the offensive linemen pushing our D-line 2-3 yards deep. We're undisciplined or poorly coached or both. We have a horrible defensive scheme. It's trash. It's garbage. We can't adjust at halftime. It's non-existent. Or we're just being outcoached or both.
Wouldn't it be great now that he's in the media for him to show up at a news conference and ask questions in that tone? That would be unbelievable.
I wonder if the reporters would just be like afraid to ask questions if that was the case.
What if him and Chris Carter switched personalities at the news conference and James Harrison went there and asked about trips right and cover three and verticals, and Chris Carter started going ballistic?
I want to see just a full James Harrison asking questions to Tomlin news conference. It's just 15 minutes of James peppering off questions.
Oh my God, was that fantastic. And of course, in breaking down the win, the $170 million defense, his creation, is the last thing that he mentions. The first thing he mentions is the Bears kicker and his dirty balls. That's what he talked about. He said their kicker was kicking dirty balls in the landing zone. That's the story of the game? That's the first thing you mention at your news conference? Was the other team's kickoffs? Kickoffs? And then your lack of, quote, timely punting? Sometimes I think he's just putting us all on, right? I mean, what is he doing? And then, of course, it was the offense. And he mentioned twice today. He made it a point. He must have seen this stat this morning. What a big deal it was to stay at less than 3rd and 5. We were on schedule. Isn't that special? And that we're, quote, elite on converting 3rd and 2 and under. He mentioned that twice, Limits. At the beginning of the news conference and the end, that they are, quote, elite at converting 3rd and 2 or under.
Well, I know who's elite at not stopping 3rd and 2 and under.
Who's that?
Your Pittsburgh Steelers.
There's going to be a banner up at the stadium that says 3rd and 2 and under, we're elite. Here's the problem with the defense. While they may be elite at converting 3rd and 2 or under, and that, God, that's impressive, believe me. They're 27th in the league overall, which isn't especially impressive. They're about 11th in the league in scoring, so not in the top 10. And their defense has scored 3 times, which inflates their numbers. They had 13 yards in the third quarter against a JV defense the other day that had less than half its starters on the field. And they've gone 60 straight games without scoring more than 7 points in the first quarter, which is the second most in the NFL since 1950. So you can take the 76 Buccaneers, the winless Lions, the winless Browns, and any other crap team from 1950 to us sitting here today. And there are 2 of them. I don't know who the other one is. 2 of them that have gone.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
60 games in a row without scoring more than a touchdown in the first quarter. And this coach sits up there and mentions twice how excited he is and how they excel and how they're, quote, elite. He said it. Elite at converting third and two or less. Mardi Gras on the Mon for that one, Limits. Let's have
Mardi
a big
Gras
party.
On the Mon.
Let's have a big party for that one. Let's get the draft clock involved. Let's get a lot of things involved. Let's celebrate this.
Do you know how many pictures I've gotten of the draft clock?
How many?
Too many to count.
Really?
Or of the draft clock. I have a lot of pictures of the draft clock. Joe, was your lunch good today? I had a great sub from Tim's Corner Market. Oh, man, it was delicious.
What a place. I had the macaroni salad and looked like a vegetable. Well, it was a vegetable sub. Not yeah. Looked like. I ate it.
Very
was
good.
A vegetable sub. We went out in the wild and located the Batconian mongoose, did we not?
Maybe he knows something about the salamanders and the lizards that lose their tails.
Were you the one that raised the question? Oh, yeah, that. And also, were you the one that raised the question about Bigfoot? Like there was an alleged sighting recently, why there's never a clear photo? Like why never just a really good shot of Bigfoot that we can really get a look at him?
Do you think Ben Tenuta is out there trying to find Bigfoot with his camera? Like,
why is that, Brian? Why so elusive? And you'd think after all these years, if there is such a thing as Bigfoot, we'd have at least one good shot of him. No?
Yeah, I just don't think Bigfoot is real, Joe. That's a boring answer, but... what are you going to do? I think that's the most obvious explanation to your query.
Bigfoot is real.
Limits thinks he's real.
I guess I just have a cynical brain. I don't really believe in Bigfoot. I don't believe in aliens.
The Loch Ness Monster. You don't believe there's life on other planets, no. Brian?
Well, I guess I mean aliens like living among us on Earth, no. That kind of thing.
Limits, how do you feel about that?
Not well.
Well,
I do think
I
that there is
ghosts.
Life on other planets, yeah. Well, there's probably like other galaxies and solar systems that we've never even discovered, never even thought about before, but I don't like to think about that because it makes me feel sad inside.
And small.
Yes.
And he's already small, right?
Not as small as you try to make it out to be. He said, we're at the Marconi party, Brian, and he's like, at 5'1", 100 pounds, here's city limits.
All right, you're 5'6", 130.
I'm 5'10", 145.
All right.
You try to make it out to be
Joe,
like,
why
I'm,
are you trying
like,
to bully
like a Muggsy Bogues over here.
I'm just trying
friend.
To, I'm
it's a
trying
daily
to be
occurrence.
A truth teller here.
These are friends that like to beat up on each other, Brian, but yet I maybe I need to throw more insult at Joe. to be able to even out the score.
Don't you throw enough already? All right, Mongoose. Let's talk about this. Our buddy Chris Carter at the Post-Gazette had a legendary moment with Tomlin. Let's play it for you, and then you give us our interpretation. This is Chris Carter. He had a great piece today on who he studies the tape, who played well, who didn't. You read that at postgazette.com. But Tomlin did not want to hear about trips and verticals and cover threes.
In the situation of the 25-yard more touchdown we ran up the seam against you guys, it was trips right, four verticals. Is that a situation where you have to check out of the cover three zone?
I am not going to peel back the layers of how we function from a schematic standpoint, although I am impressed by the depths of your questions.
Legit compliment or sarcasm at the end, Brian?
I think legit compliment, and I think a horrible answer. How about you at least take some accountability or responsibility? Because it's not just a good question by Carter.
And Chris does great work, but really, how many people relate to that exact question? How many people know what he just asked?
I don't think that matters, because I think it's related to what Patrick Queen said after the game about schematic deficiencies. And you can ask about that in any number of ways. And Chris obviously saw something so glaring on that play that he thought it was worth asking about. And yeah, I mean, I think it did elicit a genuine acknowledgement from Tomlin. And I think it's kind of a cop-out to not answer it. And I get not wanting to go into strategy, but I mean, you can say, yeah, we'll have to revisit that. We'll have to do something different. Or maybe he thinks everything is just fine and it's the player's fault.
No, he said earlier in the news conference that there were some schematic difficulties there. He would have made different decisions, he said, schematically in the second half. For me, anyway, that's enough. I don't necessarily want to hear trips right and verticals and cover threes. I don't, anyway. I don't think most people do. I could be wrong about that. It's fair of Chris to ask the question, I suppose, but I don't think he's ever going to get it. I don't think you're going to get a specific answer on that. Do you?
Yeah, I think that's why, like, you know, if you listen to other coaches around the league too, and not just Mike Tomlin, like, you aren't getting a ton of X's and O's inside football questions like that, because if you tried to do that too often, any reporter, even the ones who watch the most film or the ones who have studied the most football jargon, like, eventually there's just going to be a wall put up by the head coach on that. So
how about just does a guy run that wide open on that play? How does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, Tomlin wouldn't answer that either, though, probably. So
probably. So eventually, what's the point?
He puts up a lot of walls to various types of questions. So
right.
At a certain point, I don't mind trying something different.
All right. The Bears kicker and the dirty balls. That was his first take from the game the other day. Were you surprised at where he went first with this?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I mean, did anybody really come away from that game caring about their shortcomings against the new dynamic kickoff role?
I did.
I get it from Tomlin's perspective. You're trying to, like, actually pinpoint some things that went wrong, unless you're not, because you don't want to peel back the layers. He's happy to peel back the layers on the kickoff component. But I just think you kind of need to, it almost comes across to me, Joe, as here's some low-hanging fruit that will allow us to sort of skirt around the bigger issues. Let me point out the kick coverage, field position, and a few bad punts by Corliss Waitman.
Right. And then it was the offense. However, he threw in there that they are, quote, elite on third and less than 3 yards, I believe it was, converting. Third and two or less. They are an elite team, Brian, when it comes to that. He also reminded us of that late in the news conference. I mean, if there's one spot you want to be elite in this league, it's on third and two or less, right?
Right, exactly. Move those chains. But yeah, I also thought another interesting answer, or like head scratching answer to me, was somebody asked about the inconsistency of the defense, which obviously is a major storyline for not just this week, but this entire season, given all the money that they're paying and the new pieces that they added and the hype, much of it self-proclaimed going into it. And he basically said, isn't that always the case when you're 6-5? Well, yeah, that's exactly the issue. That's exactly the problem. And it's not just 2025.
Right.
The year before this, you finished, what, 10-7, and it's 9-8, and it's 10-7, and it's 9-8-1. So, like, yes, that is the problem. And I think people want a little bit more, I don't know if accountability is the right word, but transparency, maybe, when these things happen, rather than just chalking it up to, yeah, that's who we are. It's almost like he said what do the kids say? He said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, out loud, yes.
Too inconsistent. Yeah.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.